Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, Have Gun, Will Travel. Fibber McGee and Molly from 1950, Captain Midnight from 1948, Buck Rogers taking us back to 1932 and featuring a Martian ship crashing. We'll have The Lives of Harry Lime, that's Orson Welles in The Bohemian Star from 1951, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring probably the quintessential Watson and Holmes, Nigel Bruce and Basil Rathbone in The Gunpowder Plot. And we'll also have tonight, Quiet Please, that from 1948 in a dreamy piece called Calling All Souls. I'm Norman Gilliland. We're going to start with Have Gun, Will Travel. Don't know if there is a subtext to this story or not. That is to say, whether this little story about disapproved education had something to do with the communist witch hunts of the earlier 50s. You can draw your own conclusions about that. But it is Paladin addressing the issue of education, which was very much on people's minds in the 50s. Tonight, an acquaintance of his, Miss Stanton, is teaching about Quantrell's raiders, and that brings threats from someone who plans to take drastic action. In this story called The Teacher, from January 25, 1959.
Any one of you who tries to put a torch to that building will die in his tracks. Now, who wants to be first? Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Come in.
Here it is, Mr. Paladin. Whiskey, water, ice. You want something else?
I want you to take this money over to the bank and deposit it for me.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, great deal of money, Mr. Paladin.
$5,000. Here's a deposit slip.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Oh, all the time I know you, Mr. Paladin, you have money.
Money I earn?
Yes, sir, but so much money. You buy clothes, you live here, you pay for many things. You ever work and not earn money?
I don't understand you.
Oh, hey, I work and not earn money. Most people do the same thing.
If it makes you feel any better, I've often worked and not been paid a dime.
Oh, it makes me feel better.
But I try not to make a habit of it.
Oh, I know. Oh, well, I take this now. Oh, a wire for you from Nevada.
Let's see.
You send answer?
Yes. Yes, tell him, Have Gun, Will Travel.
If dandruff dulls your hair, leaves your scalp itchy, please listen. You can get rid of annoying dandruff so fast today, no one should suffer any longer. With Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. Besides that, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch Shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And while removing dandruff, Fitch can also brighten hair up to 35%. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
The trip to Nevada was for nothing. When I got there, my employer's problem had been settled. He'd been killed, and his killer had been hanged. So I turned around and started back for San Francisco, and that's how I happened to ride through Wormsville. Not really a town, just a single line of ragged buildings facing the open prairie, but trying to be a town. One of the buildings was a log cabin with a flagpole in front of it. Sitting by the side of the road, tracing figures in the dust with a willow branch, was a young boy. I stopped beside him.
Hello, mister.
Hello, son. You're going to be late for school.
Ain't going.
Oh? Why not?
Not till they get rid of the school teacher.
What'd she do?
Nothing.
Oh. You don't like her, is that it?
Miss Stanton? I like her fine, but Pa says I can't go.
Why does Pa say that, boy?
On account of Mr. Breck says it to him.
Breck? Who's Mr. Breck?
He owns that big ranch over there. He don't like what Miss Stanton was teaching about Quantrill.
What was Miss Stanton teaching about Quantrill?
She says Quantrill's men were thieves and murderers. Mr. Breck rode with Quantrill in the war. Said he'd burn down the school and ride her out of town if she didn't stop teaching that way.
So I take it Miss Stanton is still teaching that way, huh?
Yep. She's stirring up a fuss. Hardly anybody's going to school now.
Well, it seems to me it's Mr. Breck who's stirring up the fuss. What's your name?
Morse Kaufman, sir.
Morse. My name is Paladin. Can I sit down?
Sure.
How do you feel about all this?
I don't know rightly, Mr. Paladin. Seems Miss Stanton oughtn't to teach things that'll cause trouble.
Let me ask you something, Morse.
Yes, sir?
One and one make two. You believe that?
Sure.
Well, supposing I didn't like the number two. Supposing I just as soon forget it and use one and three and four and so on, but never two. Then what?
Well, that'd be wrong, Mr. Paladin.
Then maybe it's wrong to think that Miss Stanton or any teacher could do a very good job by ignoring the facts of history, no matter how much they upset some people.
Maybe, but Mr. Breck don't see it that way. He's too mean to think. Everybody does what he says.
Except Miss Stanton.
Except Miss Stanton.
You wish to see me?
Yes. May I speak to you alone, Miss Stanton?
Miss Grubb, will you kindly come up here and sit at my desk? The rest of you go right on with your reading. After you've finished page 18 in McGuffey, then you may work on your slates. This way, young man. Well?
I'll get right to the point, Miss Stanton. I don't like what you've been teaching about the Jayhawkers.
The Jayhawkers?
Kansas-Missouri patriots that organized to fight for the Union on the border. I hear you've been teaching that they committed a good many vicious and unprincipled acts. Is that true?
Mr. Breck doesn't want me to teach about Quantrill and his atrocities. And now you, whoever you are, don't want me to teach of the Jayhawkers' atrocities, merely because they were on the Union side. Young men, I will teach the truth as it is, and not as you or Mr. Breck would like it to be.
Good for you, Miss Stanton.
What?
I just wanted to see if you were telling both sides of the story.
Who are you, mister?
My name is Paladin. Here's my card.
Well, I don't understand. Who hired you?
No one's hired me.
I still don't understand, Mr. Paladin.
Miss Stanton, is anyone in this town on your side?
No, I'm afraid not. I used to have 18 pupils. You saw the handful in there. Tomorrow there'll be even less. Mr. Paladin, I can't pay you for anything.
Oh, no. I don't want pay. Just say that this is something I want to do.
You don't know what you're getting into. Breck, all his gunmen.
I've heard about him.
There isn't anyone who'll face up to him.
If this is going to be settled by guns, You have at least one on your side.
Guns. Oh, Mr. Paladin, there must be no fighting. Not over me.
You're a teacher. That makes you very special. Without teachers, every generation would have to start all over again, learning from the beginning. No, Miss Stanton, you're very much worth fighting over. You're a teacher.
Thank you, Mr. Paladin. I needed someone to say that. I really did.
Molly Stanton gave me a list of all of her students and where they lived. She did it with little hope that it would do any good, but with the same kind of determination with which she stood up and spoke the truth in her teaching. I could do no less than make use of the list.
I told you my Susan ain't going back to school until that teacher clears out. Now, we've been all over it.
Then we'll go over it again. Now, where's your pride, Mr. Coldwell? If Breck threatened Susan's life with a gun, you'd be out there with your gun making a fight of it. But when he takes over a piece of her mind, you crawl into a hole.
You get out of here.
I'd be glad to leave if you'll do something about Breck.
I'll do as I see fit. Now get out of my house.
Mr. Coldwell, adults sometimes forget that children are learning all the time. Your Susan learns not only by what you tell her, but by the way you live. What do you suppose she's learning right now?
Get out!
Yes, sir?
Good evening, Morse. Is your father home?
Who is it?
Man who was at the school today, Pa. Mr. Paladin.
May I come in, Mr. Kaufman? I'd like to talk to you.
Come on in. Oh, what do you want to talk about?
The school. I've heard around town that tomorrow Breck's riding in to burn it down.
You want help? Is that it?
Yes. I'm asking the people this involves for that help.
Yeah? How have you been doing?
Oh, poorly. Huh. I've been riding 6 hours tonight, talking, arguing. Everyone's afraid of Breck. How about you? Will you help?
If I said no, would you figure it's because I'm scared of Breck?
Why else would you say no?
Might be I figure he's right.
He isn't.
This fight is over Quantrill. What he was, what he'd done.
Mr. Kaufman, you're wrong when you say this is a fight over Quantrill. It isn't. This is a fight over whether a man named Breck will burn down a school and drive a woman out of the county for teaching. Look, Mr. Kaufman, you hire a teacher. You see that she has the proper training and the right moral character for the job. Then you have to let her do that job. You hold her back, you tell her what to teach and what not to teach. She ends up teaching nothing.
All right, but that ain't my fight. Jason and them other folks in town don't like me. The way I talk, they make fun of me. If everybody was to make a stand, I'd go along, but I don't see doing their fighting for them.
But this is for yourself.
You have spoken your piece, Mr. Paladin. You've had my answer.
But not once have you mentioned the real reason you won't stand up to Breck.
What do you mean?
You're afraid of him.
Wait. No one calls me a coward and walks away.
Well, you just look me up at the school tomorrow if you want to finish this. Unless you'd rather shoot me in the back right now.
How a cat has 9 lives. She makes that clear with every impulsive leap from sofa to the top of the bookcase. All the same, she can compete with you when it comes to getting places. In no more time than it takes the cat to reach her favorite perch, you can be in Rome or Tokyo or anywhere else exciting things are happening. You do that daily on CBS Radio as network features like our World News Roundup and The World Tonight take you to the scene of the news. For all her 9 lives, our cat can't compete with you either where experience is concerned. Vast network facilities make CBS Radio a meeting place for interesting people, real and fictional, whose personal histories enrich your own. Why envy the cat her 9 lives when CBS Radio invites you to share the life experiences of celebrities who visit you on programs like our Mitch Miller Show and invites you to share emotions with the heroes and heroines in our many fine dramatic shows.
The next morning, Molly Stanton appeared at the school 15 minutes before class was scheduled to begin. She tidied her desk, made notes for the day, then stepped out into the yard and rang the bell. But there was no one to ring it for. No students, no parents.
There's our support, Mr. Paladin.
Then we'll meet Breck by ourselves.
Why? What for? What am I fighting about? They're not my children. Those people don't care. Why should I?
Because you do care. You care for the children. Your own integrity.
They just want their children here, out from underfoot.
I'm sorry I'm late, Miss Stanton.
Well, you've certainly been a stranger, Susan. Go on now, get to your desk. You have 2 weeks' work to catch up on.
Yes, ma'am.
You see, Miss Stanton, you were wrong. Somebody does care.
Mr. Paladin, look.
I see them.
I'll wait here with you.
No. Now, you go on in and run your school.
Well, good luck.
You, Jackson Breck?
That's right. You're the one who's been siding with that old hen in there. All right, boys. I got enough men to do the job that's got to be done. You can see that, stranger.
I can see.
But you're going to try to stop me?
That's the idea.
You're a fool. Get that gun of his. Now, hold it, Cooley. Ben's easy without his gun.
Leave him alone! Let him go! Oh, Mr. Paladin, Mr. Paladin!
See all the trouble you went and caused?
You! You're an animal!
You should have packed your things, teacher. Now they'll just have to burn up with the school. You, kid, give me that book.
No. Leave that child alone.
I ain't gonna hurt the kid. I just want the book. Make a good torch. Yeah, you see? Burns pretty good.
Don't do it, Breck.
Oh, I'm gonna do it all right. Burns real nice, don't it? Here, Cooley, toss it inside. Ought to start the whole place off.
You give me my book.
Get away, kid.
Leave her alone, Breck.
What?
It's my daughter. You leave her alone.
Jason, put that rifle away.
Don't nobody make a move. I'll kill the first man who does.
Cooley, move around behind him.
Don't you try it, Cooley. I mean what I say.
You're going to be sorry for this, Jason. Turn on your friends like you are, we'll remember, and you'll be sorry.
Hold it, Frank. Hold up there.
Oh, Walter Kaufman come to join the fun. That's just one more for you to worry about, Jason.
What's going on here? What is that gun for, Jason?
I changed my mind, Kaufman. I ain't with Breck no more.
That's so?
And I'll tell you, just like I told him, one false move from anybody and I fire.
Jason, I got a score to settle.
I told you he'd be on our side, Jason.
I didn't say I was on any side. Cooley, give Paladin back his gun.
What?
Give it to him, Cooley. Give it to him or Jason and I'll start shooting.
Thank you.
Now you've got your gun back, Paladin. You can speak to Breck for all of us.
All right, Breck. No one's holding me now. You've got two hands, gun in that holster. You're standing on your own 2 feet. What else do you want? An edge?
Well, I...
Well, maybe this'll help you fight. Oh, you only draw against women. Is that it? Or maybe school teachers, you especially? Or children? All right, if not you, how about one of your men? You? How about you? Anybody? And get on your horses and get out of here. And, Breck, one more thing. Don't try sneaking back some dark night. You wouldn't be very hard to find afterwards.
That's right, Breck. Big man like you, you wouldn't be hard to find at all. Hey, Jason?
No. There'd be nothing to it. Let's get out of here. Well, it's finished.
Not quite. Paladin, last night you called me a coward.
Yes, I did.
Why?
I wanted you mad enough so you'd think about what I said.
It made me think. That is for sure.
I never thought you were a coward, Mr. Kaufman. I knew you were afraid. I knew what you were afraid of. That you'd fight for Jason here and his friends, and afterwards they'd just laugh at you for being a fool.
And I might have, too, Waller. I was proud about all the wrong things. Like you having an accent and me not. Then when I saw Breck going after Susan, well, maybe that's what helped me get things straight.
I'm glad. Well, now, isn't it time to get the children back to school?
Oh, Mr. Paladin, you're back so soon. Welcome, welcome. Oh, you give me back.
How have you been, hey boy? Anything happened while I was gone?
Oh, yes, many things happened. Ship blow up in harbor, streetcar break chain and run downhill, man chase wife through the street with butcher knife, many things happened. Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I suppose I mean, did anything good happen?
Oh, you let me think, Mr. Paladin. No.
I beg your pardon.
What?
My name is Francis. Has anyone paged my name in the lobby in the last few minutes?
Not since we've been here, Mrs. Francis.
It's Miss.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Miss Francis. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Paladin.
How do you do?
You're staying here at the hotel?
Why, yes. I registered yesterday.
And, are you staying long?
That depends. I might stay indefinitely if I find San Francisco interesting.
I'm certain that you will find it that way.
Really, Mr. Paladin?
With my help, of course.
How nice.
Shall we say 8 o'clock?
How very nice. Yes. Until then?
Until 8 o'clock.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Hey, boy.
Yes, sir.
You lied.
I lied? Oh, no, Mr. Paladin, I don't lie.
Something very good did happen while I was away.
Here comes Elmer Blurt, world's lowest pressure salesman.
Nobody home, I hope, I hope. Oh, gosh, it says salesman keep out.
Hey, come back here.
You wouldn't want to buy a new Rambler American station wagon, would you, mister?
You poor fella. Let me show you how to sell. You got to use high pressure.
Yeah, but...
You got to tell the customer you must buy America's lowest price station wagon, the Rambler American. The small wagon with automatic transmission, the reclining seat, deep coil springs, and handsome American styling.
Is that a fact?
Then you say the Rambler American is America's easiest parking station wagon and can save hundreds of dollars a year on gas and maintenance.
But will that high pressure work?
I'll prove it works. Order me a Rambler American station wagon. Now, how do you like my sales technique?
Well, it's not as good as your neighbor's.
Oh?
No, he just sold himself a Rambler station wagon and a Rambler sedan.
Want a whale of a buy on a used car? See your Rambler dealer right now for a tremendous assortment of select used cars taken in trade on all the new Ramblers. See your Rambler dealer for a select used car. Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe. He is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Helen Cleave, Harry Bartell, Richard Perkins, Virginia Gregg, and Joel Davis. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Fibber McGee and Molly. Molly, perhaps a little less enthusiastically, looking for a picnic place for today's outing. And they decide to go eventually to the orchard, but not before they meet just about everybody in the cast out there mucking around somehow. It's a little bit like A Midsummer Night's Dream, where you find everybody out and about and all of them just a little wacky in the outdoors. Tonight's story comes from May 16, 1950. Fibber McGee and Molly with a picnic in the orchard.
The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, Dick LeGrand, Cliff Arquette, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Fibber and Molly join us in a moment. By this time, millions of women have tried Johnson's new Glow Coat on their floors and linoleum. They've found out what it means to them to protect their floors with a self-polishing floor wax that's positively water-repellent. Brighter shine, less work, less scrubbing. Real economy, too, for water-repellent Glow Coat lasts up to 4 times longer. But now, how about you? Have you ever actually used the new water-repellent Glow Coat? If not, this is the time of all times to do it. For right now, at your dealers, you can get 1/3 more Glow Coat with its new water-repellent properties at the price you'd usually pay for regular pints or quarts. Now, this offer is for a limited time only, so take my advice. Take advantage of this opportunity while it lasts. Look for Glow Coat in the special giant cans that give you 1/3 more of this wonderful water-repellent floor wax at no increase in price. Get Glow Coat in these special giant cans at your dealers tomorrow. Mrs. McGee, being a woman, loves picnics. Mr. McGee, being a man, hates picnics. So, guess who's going on a picnic? Yep, it's Fibber McGee and Molly.
Here's the basket. Mosquito lotion, camera, flashlight, tablecloth and blankets, fly swatter, my jigsaw puzzle, a dozen Dixieland jazz records, my shotgun.
Wait a minute, McGee.
Huh?
Why the Dixieland jazz records? We haven't anything to play them on. And why the shotgun?
Target practice, kiddo. You throw the records up in the air and I shoot at them. Now, let me see. What else do we need?
McGee, where's the apple butter?
Apple butter? What apple butter?
Why, I had a whole tin of it on the running board there.
Oh, my gosh. Was that apple butter? I put that in the transmission.
Heavenly days.
Oh, well. The old car ought to run pretty sweet with that stuff in it. Well, hop in, kiddo. I know just the exact place where we can go.
Hold everything, McGee. Don't start the motor. Here comes Dr. Gamble.
Oh, dear.
Should we ask him to go with us?
That glutton? Say not. I've seen him eat, and I thought the guy was bottomless till he leaned over to pick up a fork, and I... Oh. Hello, doctor, old man.
Hello, doctor.
Hello, children. Going away for 3 or 4 months, I see. Not taking the piano?
No, we're just going on a picnic, Doxo. It just occurred to me this morning that every now and then a fellow and his wife ought to get away by themselves from things. And I'm just the type of guy that even if I hate picnics, if his wife wants me to take her on one, he'll go.
How was that again?
Well, I talked him into it, Doctor.
I figured that Watson's Grove was as good as any place
what?
To be.
Watson's Grove?
Yeah.
Yes. What's the matter with Watson's Grove, Doctor?
Well, you know that originally it was not called Watson's Grove.
Huh?
It was Watson's Grave.
Grave?
A fellow named Watson shot by bandits in 1863. They say his spirit haunts the place.
Oh, well, who's afraid of ghosts besides me?
Me. Well, let's go someplace else, McGee. Far be it for me to disturb the spirit of the late, Mr. Watson.
You ever see this ghost yourself, Doctor?
No, but if we see it this afternoon, I'll let you know.
This afternoon?
You mean... Yes. Fifi Tremaine and I are picnicking in Watson's Grove ourselves.
Oh,
I see.
So find yourself another spot, egg face.
So long, Molly.
You see what he did? He had that all figured out.
Be sure and don't tip over the thermos jug, dearie. And hand me the hamper. Thank you. Now, won't you admit this is fun?
Oh, sure, I guess so. You'll admit this is a better spot than Watson's Grove, too. Look at this country. Nobody around here for miles. It's wilder than a cross-eyed pitcher up against a left-handed batter.
Ah, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the place back in Peoria, up on top of Kickapoo Hill, where we used to go picnicking. Remember?
Yeah. Remember the time you and me and Otis Cadwallader played hide-and-seek? And Otis hid in a hollow tree that was full of bees? Then come running out all stung up, and somebody said to put mud on his sting, so I threw him in the creek, and then I realized that Otis couldn't swim, and I jumped in after him, and then I realized I couldn't swim either. You jumped in and pulled me out, and I was so muddy you didn't recognize me, and you said, "Thank goodness you're safe, Otis." And I says, "I ain't Otis, I'm Fibber." And you started to cry, remember?
Ah, didn't we have fun, though?
Yeah.
Remember the... Oh, look. Somebody's little red collie. Here, doggy. Here, doggy.
Hey, that ain't a collie. That's a fox.
A fox?
Boy, this is a great country, and look at it. Really close to nature. Not a living soul within a dozen miles of it. I'll bet that little fox...
Heavenly days, look. It's the mounted police. Look at the redcoats.
Hey, it's a fox hunt. Grab the lunch, kiddo. We get careful by the horse.
Get that horse off of my head.
And Billy's own Cornball Rag.
them brakes fixed.
This is a lovely little road, McGee. Mm-hmm. Bring the basket and the blankets and things, and let's find a nice spot in here.
Okay, kiddo, but the thermos jug is leaking. It got kicked by one of them horses.
Well, hold it with the leaky side up.
Okay.
We can find a nicer place to picnic anyway, so...
Well, hello there, McGee. Hello, miss.
Well, for the high, Ollie.
What are you doing way out here, Ollie? Don't tell me you're picnicking, too.
Oh, no, missus. I used to walk out from town to visit my cousin. He's got a little truck farm out this way.
Oh, truck farm. Raises vegetables, eh?
No, he raises trucks.
He raises trucks? Why, that's ridiculous.
Sure, but it pays good. He raises trucks out of mud holes with two mules. You see, when the trucks get stuck in my cousin's mud hole, he unstucks them with his mules, and then they really get stuck. $10, he sure is.
$10? That sounds like quite a business. That'll teach the local drivers not to muck tracks with their Mack trucks. How's he doing, Ollie?
Oh, his business gets a good this spring. He puts on two more mules and opens a branch mud hole down the road.
We better get busy, Molly. Excuse us, Ollie. We're trying to find a place to picnic.
Do you and your wife ever go on picnics, Ollie?
No, missus. When we was courting, I had good reason for picnics.
Yeah.
I was all the time trying to talk her into marrying me, you know.
Yeah?
Sure. I finally did it, too.
Yeah.
23 years she's my missus. So if I took her on picnic now, I'm just donating my time. Well, so long, don't you, fellas. Yeah. So long.
McGee, let's walk on up this pretty road here and see if we can't find a nice place to
park. Hey, here's a spot, Tootsie. Look, through this bunch of bushes. Oh, boy, look at that beautiful grass.
Oh, will you look? Why, that's lovely.
Yeah.
What a sweet little meadow.
Yeah, must be an old abandoned subdivision. See the red flag sticking in the gopher hole there? Number 16. Probably the lot number. Bet that lot sold for a lot of dough at one time. I'll get that thing out of the way so it won't bother us. There.
Oh, McGee, look in the gopher hole.
Huh?
There's a little round, white, dimpled egg in it.
My gosh. A gopher egg.
Don't touch it, dearie. Don't touch it. The mother may come back.
Well, there sure is wildlife in these parts. Look at that guy way over there in the gully whacking away at a snake or something. Look, he just busted his stick.
Ah, oh, that doesn't matter. He's got his little boy there with a whole bag of.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, let's start spreading out the lunch, McGee.
Okay.
We'll have a lovely time here. McGee, leave the chocolate cake alone.
Oh, my gosh, it looks so good, I thought I'd...
What was that?
I don't know. Something landed in the potato salad. It's another gopher egg.
You know, McGee, a thought just occurred to me. Maybe this patch of grass... Oh!
Hey, somebody busted the olive jar. Hey, what the heck's
McGee,
going on?
McGee, pack up quick.
Huh?
We must be trespassing.
What?
Here comes a bunch of farmers, and they're all carrying clubs.
Well, let's go, kiddo. You take the basket, I take the cake.
Okay.
Hey, you, get off of that golf green.
Hey, this is a championship match.
Go on, I'll beat it.
Hey, you better
come on, dearie. Let's duck through the hedge here.
Whew, we got out just in time, kiddo. They'd have killed us.
Just for having a picnic on the lawn?
Oh, well, not that so much, but I picked up three of their gopher eggs. They're not really gopher eggs, you know, Molly.
No.
Gophers don't lay eggs at this time of the year. I was just...
Quiet, McGee. Here comes one of them.
Oh, excuse me, folks. I didn't know there was anybody. Oh, hello, Molly. Hiya, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. Boy, we run into you in the darndest places, don't we?
Yes, I'm following this golf tournament, kids. I'm taking a shortcut to the next tee.
What's so interesting about the next tee?
Well, it's number 17. 520 yards over a wide stream.
Oh.
A couple of friends of mine are playing, and I gave them each some of that sensational Johnson's water-repellent glow coat.
Why?
Are you trying to tell us, Junior, that with Johnson's water-repellent glow coat on a golf ball, it won't go into the water?
Pal, it works like a charm.
Yeah?
Probably just psychological, I suppose, but With a golf ball dipped in glow coat and a powerful drive, if it's high enough and far enough, it avoids that stream of water like it had hydrophobia.
Isn't that strange?
Well, just an experiment, of course, but the new glow coat is so successful with its water-repellent qualities on floors, linoleum, that I thought I'd try it out.
Yeah, but I always thought you were a little...
You see, with this marvelous new development in floor protection, Johnson's water-repellent glow coat, you can use a damp cloth over it many times without it leaving milky-looking streaks. Uh-huh. Because, you see, it's truly water-repellent.
One-third quart more.
And when you think what a bargain your dealer offers you right now in the giant-sized can for the same old price...
That's it.
Yes,
it.
We know about that.
A pint and a third for the price of a pint, and a quart and a third for the price of a quart.
That's it.
Which is an outright gift of one-third more for your money.
That's the crux of the whole thing.
Well, I tell you, you'll realize what a bargain it is.
Look, Waxy.
Hey, what say, pal?
Look, Mr. Wilcox, if you'll excuse us, we're trying to have a little picnic, just the two of us.
Yeah, so you run along to the next tee, Junior. Hey, what are you carrying the snowshoes for?
Well, a couple of my friends are in this tournament, so I'm carrying their snowshoes.
Huh?
They're playing winter rules.
Oh, yeah.
Now, McGee.
Search me, kiddo. We ought to be somewhere near Crawford's Creek. There's a wonderful place to picnic there if I can only locate...
Oh, hold it, dearie. Hold it. Here comes the man. Let's ask him.
Okay. Hi, bud. Good day, sir.
We're looking for Crawford's Creek, sir, but we don't quite know where we are.
Yeah. Can you give us a few directions?
Why, certainly, sir.
Fine.
That way is north. That way is south. That's west. This is east. That way is down, and I never did know which way is up.
Look, Jasper, let's quit the kidding. If you want to be Snide, I can be Snyder.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Snyder? Huh? Well, and this lady, I presume, is Mrs. Snyder?
No, I'm Mrs. McGee.
Well, it's a pleasure, Mrs. McGee. I am Oliver J. Bostwick, the third.
The third what?
The third man.
Huh?
You've probably heard my theme. La da 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 da.
Oh, now, for goodness sakes, Mr. Bostwick. Can't we do something about this drivel?
The lady speaking to you, drivel.
Oh, excuse me, I wasn't... Hey, I'm not drivel.
Why, of course not. He's McGee.
I thought your name was McGee.
It is. I'm married to Mr. Snyder.
Huh?
I mean, Mr. Snyder is drivel.
No, no.
Look,
let me explain this. Look, you see, Erwick...
Bostwick.
Yes. Yeah, you see, Bostwick, I started out to take my wife on a picnic.
Well, if you're taking your wife on a picnic, what'd you bring this lady along for, too? Your wife will be pretty annoyed when you show up for the picnic with Mr. and Mrs. McGee, Mr. Snyder.
Oh, no, now, wait a minute. This isn't...
Well, she's a cute kid and all that, but
oh,
after
I
all...
Oh, I am not.
You are, too.
She is what?
My wife.
Really?
Oh.
Oh, then I've been confused. You must be Mrs. Snyder, Mrs. Snyder.
Huh?
If you're married to Snyder here.
Not Snyder, McGee.
Why?
I wasn't speaking to you, dearie. I was speaking to him.
But my name is not McGee, Mrs. Snyder.
No, our name is McGee. Both of us.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, what happened to that other couple I was talking to? They were... Oh, what's the matter with me? They were going on a picnic.
Why, sure.
Say, why don't you folks join them? You'll find them at Crawford's Creek.
Well, for heaven's sake, where is Crawford's Creek?
Yeah, where is it?
Well, sir... Do you notice that your left foot is a little damp?
Yeah.
Well, you're standing in Crawford's Creek, huh? La da 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 da.
Oh, my, this is a lovely spot, McGee.
Yeah, but I'm hotter than a $3 raincoat. Let me hang my coat on this old sign here. Hey, it's nice and shady here, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I just love these big boulders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just sit down and relax, sweetheart. Mother will spread out the lunch.
Mm. Boy, am I hungry. I just want to lay here on my back on the grass with a sandwich and catch cold like I always do at picnics and go home.
Oh, wait a minute, McGee. Somebody's coming.
My gosh, can't people leave us alone? When all we want is a quiet picnic out
there. It's Mayor Latrivia.
It is. What the Sam Hill does he want?
Molly, you can't picnic here.
Why can't we, Your Honor?
Yeah, why can't we? My gosh, we've been chased out of
here. You'll have to get out of here. The new highway comes through here, you know.
Not today it doesn't, Mr. Mayor.
Ah, this ain't city property anyway, Latrivia. You've got no right to make us.
I know it's not city property. It's county property.
Well,
do you know what time it is?
Yes, it's time people stop bothering us and let us have our little picnic where we...
For your information, it's 3:04.
It is? Well, gee whiz, no wonder I'm so hungry. Hand me a sandwich, kid.
No, you don't have time to eat.
Oh, yes, we do. Heavenly days, we planned all week for this.
No, please, don't argue. Bring your things and run this way. McGee, where's your coat?
Hanging on that sign over there, Ben.
Didn't you read the sign?
No, he didn't. We've been reading signs all day. Keep off, no trespassing, no picnicking. Beware of the...
Oh, here's your coat. McGee, read the sign.
Huh? Read the sign. Danger. Blasting here, 3 p.m. County Highway Commission. Well, so what? What are we...
Oh, my God! Come on, Molly. Grab the stuff. Yeah. I got to...
I'll help you.
The King's Men and Home Cooking.
Oh, woe is me, what goes with me? Hate this living I've chose for me. Tired of meeting misery. Should have never roamed and left that home cooking. Home cooking. Life is cruel and I was a fool to roam. I climbed this hill, tried this dale. Then I step on a rusty nail. Never even get no mail. I'm so far from all that goes with home cooking. Home cooking. I'm afraid I should have stayed at home. With the porch light, screen door, banner from Niagara Falls, green grass, lawnmower, home sweet home up on the wall. That's home cooking. Home cooking. The quiet life for me. Rolling stone, don't get no moss. Don't get nothing but double cross. See the world, applesauce. Nothing anywhere is fine as home cooking. Home cooking. Life is cruel and I was a fool to roam. When I go out, sun goes in. Rain comes down and it soaks my skin. Jonah is my next of kin. Darn the luck I should have stuck with home cooking. Home cooking. I'm afraid I should have stayed at home. With the chirping crickets, cattails waving slender and tall, basket picnics, a right good eating, ants and all. Home cooking, home cooking, the quiet life for me. Home cooking, home cooking, the quiet life.
Looks like you finally found a nice place for our picnic lunch, McGee.
Picnic supper by now. Don't think I ain't ready for it. After being fox hunted, golfed, drowned, blasted, and chased out of 9 places, I could eat the hem off a blacksmith's apron.
I'm hungry, too. And this is a lovely place to eat.
Yep.
Just smell the apple blossoms. What a charming little orchard.
Mm, 'tis pretty, isn't it? Gets me in a kind of a romantic mood.
It does, lover?
Yeah. Hand me a piece of cake and a pickle. Believe me, the next guy that tries to bust up our picnic, I'll poke him right in the snoot, too.
Oh, is that so? Well, let me tell you, mister.
Hey.
Hi, Johnny. Hello, daughter.
Hello, Mr. Oldtimer. Where'd you come from?
Well, daughter, there was conflicting stories about that. Papa says the doctor brung me. Mama says it was a stork. Aunt Mamie says they found me under a flat rock. But I found my first little baby bonnet one day, and it says, Marshall Fields, Chicago.
Well, look, old-timer, we've been trying all day to have a peaceful little picnic, all by ourselves.
Well, good for you, Johnny. Get away once in a while with a little woman. Get away from people.
Betcha.
You're entitled to some privacy.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm going to help you get it.
Good.
I'll just sit here and keep people from bothering you. Just hand me a couple of sandwiches. Ham if you got them. Chicken if you ain't.
Hey. Cut it out. Doggone it, we're trying to have a picnic. If you were picnicking with Bessie, you wouldn't want us butting into your picnic.
Oh, don't mention Bessie, Johnny. I'm afraid I've gone and lost my girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Yep. It's Sad story, daughter.
Well, skip it.
Okay. Well, sir, me and Bessie was on a picnic, kid, when a snake crawled out of a log and took a bite right out of Bessie.
Oh, dear. Did it make her very sick?
Didn't seem to hurt her at all, daughter. She crawled right back in the log again and... Oh, you mean Bessie.
Certainly, my guy, snake bites are dangerous. What'd you do?
Well, it all happened pretty fast, Johnny. When Bessie got bit, she bellowed like a scalded buffalo and run up a 60-foot cypress tree.
Wow.
I notched the tree with my Boy Scout axe so as I could find her again and run back to town for the doctor, but he was out of the ball game.
Gee.
Oh, dear, I hope you got there in time.
Just barely made it, daughter. It was the 9th inning. Score was tied. There was a vacant seat next to the doctor. The game run 14 innings, and you can't find a notch in a cypress tree in the dark.
My gosh, you mean?
Yep. That's how I lost Bessie. Well, happy picnicking, Johnny. So long, darling.
So long. Ain't this wonderful,
Sarah? Yes, you know, I'm glad all those other places we went didn't work out, dearie, because these apple trees in bloom are just beautiful. Ah, smell that wonderful aroma, McGee.
I can't smell the aroma for those dad-ratted apple blossoms. This is great, though. Nothing so romantic as a picnic with your best girl.
Oh, look, McGee.
Huh?
Look up there. An airplane.
Well, oh, yeah, two of them. Hey, they're flying kind of low. Wonder if they're in trouble or something.
Well, I hope not. They couldn't possibly land around here with all these apple trees.
No, we're safe this time, baby. Nobody's going to spoil our picnic this time. Give me some lemonade, and I'll have another piece of cake.
McGee, look. They're pouring out smoke, and look out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Hey, that's not smoke. They're dusting the orchard. My gosh, grab the lunch. That's arsenic.
Oh, dear.
Boy, am I bushed. Give me some more lemonade, will you?
Here you are. This is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I always have claimed there's no place for a picnic like the kitchen table.
No.
I wouldn't leave this house again if... Answer the phone, will you?
The phone didn't ring, McGee.
No, it will. Every time we've got comfortable today, somebody's managed to bust it up and... What'd I tell you?
I'll get it.
Yeah.
79 Whistler Vista, Molly McGee speaking. Oh, yes, Mabel. Yes, we'd love it. Yes, we'll be ready.
Who's that?
Mabel Toops.
Huh?
Having a picnic supper at Dugan's Lake, and they'll pick us up in an hour.
Oh.
Slice some more bread, dearie.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, and Brantford, Canada, bring you Fiddle McGee and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you?
Is your car still hiding its springtime beauty under winter grime? If so, why not take just a few minutes tomorrow to clean and polish it to lustrous beauty with just one application of Johnson's Carnu. Carnu, you know, is the wonderful auto polish that cleans and polishes in one application. It cleans as you rub it on, cuts through road film and traffic tarnish water won't touch. It polishes as you wipe it off, leaves your car bright and shining. Your car shines brighter because Carnu cleans cleaner. Just rub it on, wipe it off. That's all you do with Johnson's Carnu. Get some today. Next, here's Steve Wilson and Big Town on NBC.
Everyone turns up eventually. I think even we probably sold some wax in there somewhere, even though we were outdoors rusticating with Fibber McGee and Molly and company in that picnic in the orchard from May 16, 1950. Get ready for some aerial adventure and mystery and exotic adventure with Captain Midnight next. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.